We have been teaching, or I have been teaching for several weeks on the topic, the throne of the triune God. And I'll do a little review for those who have not been here. Our desire during this series is for us, number one, to get acquainted with, familiar with, used to seeing God as a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why I've been sharing it from the perspective throne of the triune God instead of the throne of God. Because we as believers should become more familiar with seeing God as a triune being. And that is the distinction from all other religions, not three gods, but one God in three persons. And so that's probably the foremost thing a believer should know, that we have a God that we serve that is Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We've also been making a major point that the throne of God, the throne of the triune God, is a very, very important subject in the Bible. Many say, well, I know God is on his throne. It's like almost like a cliche. We're endeavoring to go deeper into what that is entailing. So this is not a subject that you can just, it's not an ABC subject. It's a subject that you really have to think, you really have to study out on your own. It's a study that provokes you to maturity and a mature relationship with the triune God. Many know about Jesus Christ. Many hear most sermons on Jesus Christ. But we're endeavoring to bring even more so into this teaching. What does the Father do? Who is the Father really? Instead of just tagging it on to the end of a prayer or the beginning of a prayer, to really become more acquainted with what the Father does, who he is, and what is his part in the Trinity. We shared how the throne is not a piece of furniture. God is not sitting on a throne per se. Throne is a symbol, an imagery for us, just like, for example, when you see someone with a stethoscope around their neck, what does that tell you about them? They're probably in the medical field. Well, that's an imagery that tells you about that person. If you see someone with a badge, you generally would think they're in some type of law enforcement. So you have these symbols all throughout the Bible, and God designed it that way to keep it hidden from those who don't need to know, and for those who need to know, he reveals to them what those imagery means. And so the throne, look at it as an imagery, and we shared how it's imaging God as a all-wise God. It represents, the throne is a symbol of the wisdom of the Father of God, of the triune being. And so we've been sharing how that it's very important to realize that this throne and the one who sits on the throne is the most important doctrine. And all other doctrines, all other teachings, all other subjects in the Bible flow from this particular topic. So it's not a small thing. Go to the book of Revelations, please. So the throne of the triune God. The main person that the Bible, the entire Bible is about the triune God. Many say that the whole book is about Jesus, which is true. But you have to know that it's the Father who started everything. And Jesus is the one that's seen implementing everything that the Father told him to do. And it's the Holy Spirit who empowers everything to come forth. So the main character in the whole Bible is the triune God. In the Old Testament, you have the Father being emphasized, but he's not called Father, he's called God or Jehovah. And his relationship with Israel is the main thing in the Old Testament. In the Gospels, you have Jesus Christ being emphasized. But his main reason for coming was not just to redeem mankind, but to come and reveal the Father. And the book of Acts, all the way to this day, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is being manifested, emphasized. But his ministry is to teach about the Father and the Son and to prepare the family of God to go be with the Father and the Son forever. So get the concept that everything is Trinitarian, the Trinity. And as I shared before, I'm going to belabor the point. I'm going to repeat myself several times because the more you hear it, the more it gets in you. The book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God, and we shared before that in when we are going through these studies, every time we see God, we're going to replace it with the Father. We're not doing anything damaging to the scriptures. We're just making it more real, this triune relationship. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave him, gave Jesus, to show his servants. Now get this imagery. The Father gave the Son a revelation to give to others about himself, Jesus. So the Father is the one initiating this book. Even though the book is about Jesus Christ, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, but it's the Father who's revealing it. He gave it to Jesus so he can give to the church. That things must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, the word of the Father, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. So here you make a distinction. One is the Father and Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Now notice, from him who is and who was and who is to come is a title for the Father. It's important that you see that. In these passages, you see, in this particular scripture, you see the Father, you see the seven spirits who are before the throne or the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. Now, for your note takers, when it says seven spirits, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, and you can go to Isaiah 11, verse 2, and it shows you the seven facets of the ministry or the spirit of the Holy Spirit. The seven facets of his ministry. So when it says seven spirits, it's not talking about literacy. It's talking about the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, in whom be glory, dominion forever. Amen. So this whole book of Revelation is about the triune God emphasizing Jesus Christ. Now, why is he emphasizing Jesus Christ? At the fall of Adam, when Adam sinned, he forfeited and gave all his authority that he had from God over the earth to Satan. 2 Corinthians says that Satan is the god of this world now. At one point, at the beginning, Adam had authority over this whole earth. But when he sinned, he was destined to die. He was destined for death. The wages of sin is death. God said, if you eat this, you shall die. So here's a man who forfeits his authority that God had given him over the earth, made the earth just for him. Now Satan legally has that authority over the earth. He's the god of this world. God said, one day I'm going to send a seed through a woman that's going to bruise and destroy you. Satan thought it was Abel, because Abel was a righteous man. So he had his brother kill him. He thought he had destroyed and killed the seed. But he had no idea this elaborate plan that the Father had designed, and it was hidden. So in order for Adam and all of mankind to be redeemed back to his righteous place, it had to be another man who would come in the earth and walk perfect before God, and then qualify himself to get back that authority. And that man was going to have to die in the place of everyone else to redeem them back to God. So here in the book of Revelation, the last book, The Father is showing us that here's the man. He's God also. But he had to be a man to win back the authority from Satan. And so this book of Revelation is showing, is the Father revealing all that this man, Christ Jesus, has accomplished. And it has to be a man who sets forth all these judgments that's coming on the earth. Jesus said in one of the Gospels that it is the Father who has given me all judgment. Why? Because he was a man. Most people do not dwell on the fact that Jesus Christ was a man. They know he was a man, but it was only a man who could redeem mankind back and walk perfect. And so this book is showing us what a man has accomplished and how a man walked perfect to the point that he can judge other men. The God-man. That was free. I don't know why I went over there, but I want you to know why this book is centered around Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 1, 2, 3 goes into, here's this Jesus Christ, a glorified man, judging the churches. And even to this day, these seven facets of churches exist today. Each church that's of God falls in one of those seven categories. But at the end of him judging these seven churches, you go into chapter 4. And all of a sudden, you move from this scene of Jesus walking through the churches, judging them, when John was caught up to heaven. And he has this vision of the future judgment. Verse 1, Revelation 4, 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in the heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was caught in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second like living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. How many know that's kind of like a powerful vision? Go back to verse 2. Immediately I was caught, I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper. Now, keep in mind, listen closely. Every time you see the throne, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, all three are present. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Always present. Always remember that. But each story or passage that you see, one is emphasized. Either the Father or the Son. Right here we see, look at verse 3, and he who sat there is like a jasper. The main focus of this vision is the Father. The Father was like a jasper, sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald or like a diamond. So you have this imagery of God. Now, understand, he doesn't see the Father. The Father cannot be seen. He probably saw a glistening light because the Father is in unbelievable light, the scripture says. He has no body. Jesus is the only one that has a body. The Father has no body, can't be seen. The Holy Spirit has no body, can't be seen. Jesus has a body. And on occasions you'll see the passage say, and I saw a man sitting on the throne. We know that's Jesus. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting. So you have number one, seated upon the throne is the triune God, but the emphasis in this passage is the Father. Surrounding the throne is a rainbow. And in the past, we've talked about the rainbow was a covenant of God promising the people he would never, in Genesis 6, he would never flood the world like that again. And he's faithful to keep his promises. So this rainbow is exclaiming the faithfulness of God to keep his word. But the faithfulness that this scripture is talking about proceed from his goodness. We shared how his goodness has facets, and one of the facets of his goodness is faithfulness. So this rainbow that surrounds the throne is not a half-shaped rainbow that we're familiar with. If you could actually see how rainbows look and you're up in the air high enough, Rainbows are circles, but we can only see half of it. So around this throne was a circle that was green with different facets of green, showing the different facets of God's goodness that we talked about in Exodus chapter 34. And these are the people who have not been in the series, so I'm going back and forth. So the rainbow is his goodness being shown. Seated around the throne are the 24 elders. Before the throne, look at verse 6. Well, go back to verse 5. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Now, can you imagine having this vision and being caught up to heaven? Just as awesome is the visual that you're seeing, is the noise, the sound that you're hearing. Because we're not talking about just little, you know how loud our thunder and lightning is. And voices. So these are the sounds that come from the throne. Verse 6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And this is a massive separation between this throne and everybody else, which basically shows how holy he is, how otherness he is, for this to be a big separation of glass. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Now, this is where it gets really interesting. Four living creatures full of eyes front and back. Can you imagine seeing a being like that? Just eyes looking at you. All over their body. Are over their wings. And it's interesting, it says, they are in the midst of the throne and around the throne. The first living creature was like a lion. The lion, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to keep up with me. The living creatures in the book of Ezekiel, it says the living creatures are cherubim. And the cherubim, each cherub had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox. And there are four of them. Now, the reason there are four is because four is the number of earth. The four winds of God, the four corners of the earth, there's the four horns of the altar. You know, all these are just representing full scope of every animal and man that was created. Now, just stay with me. Each cherub, when we say cherubim, that's plural, but cherub is one. There were four cherubim, but each had four faces. Now, the book of, we'll go into Ezekiel, it goes more detail. But each cherub had four faces. And each face represented, for example, a lion represented the chief of all wild beasts. The eagle represents the chief of all birds. Man represents, the face of man represented the most intelligent of all creatures. The oxen represented the chief of all domestic animals. So the cherubim represented all living creatures. Now, how many know that Lucifer was called what? A cherub. Go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Verse 12, son of man, take up lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord God. Now, the first previous verses is talking, God is talking to a man. All of a sudden, he changes, and in verse 12 on, is not a man anymore. Because a man wasn't the seal of perfection. This is talking about Lucifer before he fell. God says, you were the seal of perfection. In other words, you were the ultimate being, the most perfect being I created. Lucifer was the first being created. And God is saying, I made you perfect. You were the seal, you were the pattern of everything else I created. Now listen closely. When you think of these four living creatures, don't see them with four heads, literally. But they're actually the most beautiful thing, beings that God created. In other words, they were a capsule. They were a composite. Lucifer was so perfect and so beauty in his creation, God creating him. Every animal, every man, every angel that was created after Lucifer, God saw them patterned after him. Try to get this out because y'all look puzzled. Let's say I went to art school. Let's say I sculptured a beautiful, perfect, in my mind, perfect being. And I thought to myself, after I created this person is so beautiful, everyone else and everything else I create afterwards, I'm going to pattern it after him. Lucifer was so perfect in beauty and perfect in wisdom that all the other angels trued off of how he looked. Mankind was kind of similar from how he looked. Birds were kind of, ox kind of, And he was perfect in beauty. You could kind of understand how pride came in. So that's why you have these four heads. They all everything that was created after Lucifer was followed from his similarity and pattern. How many understand what I said just then? What about the rest of y'all? I don't care. I know you're thinking. So here you have the cherub or cherubim or living creatures around the throne, in the midst of the throne, because they are symbols of all creation. That's what I want you to see. Wherever the throne is, these four living creatures, maybe more, are always around the throne. Matter of fact, they are one with the throne. Because it's the wisdom of God that made them. Go back to Revelation, please. So this is what these living creatures are. Always remember they're cherubim. Lucifer was the first anointed cherub. Another, when it says anointed cherub, he oversaw all that was in heaven. Anointed, he had authority. Not only was eyes on them, look at verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest day nor night. Eyes, eyes, eyes. Eyeballs looking at you the whole time you're looking at it. Behind, in front of, on the back of their wings, on the front of their wings, on their face, on everywhere, eyeballs. How many know they didn't look like that? This is imagery, symbols. How many want to know what the eyes represent? You may already know. How many want to know? We'll continue next week. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Y'all really got upset. Some of y'all got that frown face on. Genesis 3. This is talking about the fall. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. This is what Eve said. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your what? Eyes will be what? And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eyes, wise like God. Look at verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to what? You get the connection? Eyes wise. Eyes wisdom. Eyes is a symbol for wisdom. Those cherubim were covered with all these eyes and represented all creation because it was God's infinitely manifold wisdom that created everything. That's why he gave Lucifer two main attributes: full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. When we were going over what goodness meant, one of the facets of goodness was beauty. He blessed them with wisdom and goodness. Wisdom, beauty. Write this down. Proverbs 3:7. Isaiah 5:21. Proverbs 26:12. I mean, there are so many scriptures with this. But those three scriptures have this phrase: wise in your own eyes. Go to Proverbs 3. At least we can see that one. Wise in your own eyes. Not wise with God's wisdom. Wise in your own eyes. And these are very familiar scriptures, but they stop before they get to this scripture. Verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. One passage, an Aramaic passage, says your own wisdom. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not, and most scriptures, most people should follow up to verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Eyes. What animal to this day is known to be wise? Wow. What's the biggest feature of the owl? That's not a coincidence. You can write this down. Psalms 19, verse 7 and 8. Enlighten with wisdom. Enlighten. Psalms 119, 18. Open my eyes that I may see or comprehend or become wise. There's so many verses. Psalm 69:23. Eyes be darkened. Luke 24:30-31. This is on the road to Emmaus when the men were walking and Jesus says that he presented himself and they didn't recognize him. And then it says later on in the passage, their eyes were open and they saw who he was. They were enlightened. just so many verses. Judges, the book of Judges 17, chapter 17, and the last chapter talks about they had no king over them, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So this symbol of eyes is very, very significant. It didn't say it had a few eyeballs on them. Their whole being was full of eyes. It was the stamp of God's wisdom. We can go to 10, 12, 13, 14 passages in the Bible that says that God created the earth through his wisdom. That's a whole nother sermon. But God created everything through his wisdom. Go back to Revelations, please. There's another scripture, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. God, in his infinite wisdom, searches the whole earth. A lot of passages will make sense. Now, I'm not saying every verse to have eyes in it, is related to this. To be continued. I want you to see how important this throne imagery is. It's all throughout the entire Bible. But we'll pick up here in Revelations, then we'll go to Ezekiel, the Lord's willing. And Ezekiel takes this, what we share tonight, to tenfold. I mean, it steps it up 10 times as graphic and as informative than Revelations 4. How many are surviving this teaching? Let's all stand, please. It's very important that we learn. This is just learning more about who God is and what he's like. Amen.